Let's get started as we continue our trek through the book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 1. God has informed Noah of his plans to eradicate the earth as it was known at that time. And he shared with Noah the reason he was going to do it. Man was wicked. He had spoiled all of creation. So much so that last week we found out that God had shared with Noah that even the earth had self-destructed with corruption. And he asked Noah to do some things in preparation for the coming disaster, that the earth would be wiped away. And at 500 years old, this old man is told to take on this awesome task of building a monstrous structure, one that would withstand the flood. Now, I know some of you theologians and great Bible studiers and scientific minds can offer debate about whether or not it was a universal or local flood. But I think today's lesson points out, again, Sister Nina, why you have to conclude that it was universal because of some of the steps that were taken to ensure that there was something that would survive later on. If something would survive without these steps, then why do this? Why build the ark so big? You know, why put all those smelly animals in there and have air conditioning, you know, disturbing Noah? I thought Noah was with God. I thought he was on God's side. I thought he was the great rain prophet, righteous in every way, perfected, being perfected. But the ark was built because in God's execution of his just wrath, if any were to survive, there had to be a mechanism of that survival, for that survival, rather. And in it, we find that God told Noah, this is how you do it, this is how you build it, this is what you put on the ark to ensure the survivability of those that were to occupy the ark. You're going to notice there's an interesting scripture in today's lesson, a phrase that you know that the earth was totally wiped out because it did not have God's presence. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Because death is separation from God. That's all death is. That's eternal death. Eternal death is separation. Death is separation. Death is simply, in its physical aspect, is the body is separated from the soul and spirit. The body goes into the ground and the spirit and the soul goes back to creation. And we'll just leave it at that for now, for because basic doctrine's got to still take a test so far. But it's physical separation. It's spiritual separation. The moment that Adam and Eve partook of that fruit, they died. Spiritually, they became spiritually separated from God. And last week, we heard God say, I ain't a hang around you boys no more. I'm through with you. You're wicked in every way. You think stuff that I can't even imagine that my creation would have thought. You do stuff that never was intended to be done by my creation. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take out my eraser, and I'm going to erase all this. But last week we found out that there was one man that found favor with God. And today we're going to hear a declaration from God that that one man was righteous. Just one man, right, could save the whole world. So you don't have to worry about how many folk you are witnessing to or how many you claim for God. You be right. Because if just one is right, it can change the whole world. We're going to see that in Noah today. And God has now provided, through detailed instructions, a blueprint for building an ark that would provide safety in the times of trouble. Isn't it comforting to know that you serve a God that no matter what storms are raging in your life, there's always a place of solace and solitude and refuge? Because the psalmist declared, "The Lord is my refuge." I mean, and we're going to see that the ark is in fact a typographical God or Christ. And in Christ, there is safety. If you want to be saved, you got to be in Christ. Oh, y'all don't hear me. We won't even do this lesson like this today. We'll just do it like this. Christ declared that I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no man gets to the Father, no man gets to God, no man gets to the comfort of the presence of God unless he comes through me. So in other words, if you're going to be saved, you got to go through Christ. If you're going to be saved, you got to get in the ark. Y'all don't hear me. But here's the thing. You can't buy your way into the ark. You can't give your way into the ark. You can't be so good that you deserve to go in the ark, because even Noah wasn't that good that he should go in the ark. But it's something that God saw in Noah that he didn't see in one other person on the planet. And because Noah was married to one, fathered three others, and they and three more were wives of the three that he fathered. In other words, everybody outside of Noah, it didn't ever say that Noah's wife was so good, that Shem and Japheth, Ham was so good. It says that Noah was right. And when God saw the right one, because they had a holy connection, they had a holy hookup. Amen. See, you need a holy hookup. And Jesus is that holy hookup. You got to know Jesus. There is none righteous, no, not one. But Jesus is right enough to get you in. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. Safety in the ark. Verse 1 reads what?
And the Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for ye have seen righteous before me in this generation."
See, y'all didn't believe what I said. Y'all thought that, oh, Deke Sneed done gone off on a tangent now. All I was doing was doing verse 1 before y'all read it. It says something. I told you. It says that God did what? What did he say that? "For thee I have what?" Y'all read that again.
"For thee I have seen righteousness before me in this generation."
In other words, out of all that's going on around in the city, in the country, in the world, I see one that is righteous. Can you imagine, Celie, the pressure on Noah to conform to the people around him, to the culture around him? Well, let me tell you, that pressure is no less great today than it was on Noah. Even we in the church are letting culture dictate what the church is to be. We're letting community and country tell the church, the one that Jesus Christ established upon a rock of your profession, Peter. We're letting them determine how we respond on this earth, in this country. Pressure. We can't do it like that no more, because the world is changing. Let me tell you something. The world has always been changing. The world has got to change, because the world is going to go to hell if it does not change. Y'all don't hear me. So it's got to change, but it's how you change. See, the world in Noah's day had changed, Harris. It had changed. Man, we had this beautiful planet, lovely trees. Every day seemed like summertime. Mr. and Mrs. Adam throwing grapes down each other's throats. Yes, I said. He say that every time. Yes, I said, because that's what I'd rather be doing. Throwing grapes. But that changed. But do you know something that has never changed? God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God says, I've been standing here and I've been noticing that all of y'all been acting the fool. Y'all been acting like y'all weren't created. Y'all acting like you don't know who your creator is. He said, the only one that's not acting like that, G-Man, is Noah. I've seen one. And because that one is not acting the fool, him and his whole family gonna be saved. For 100 years, him and his family have worked. For 100 years, this man has been on a mission for the Lord that everybody was laughing at. Can you believe he's been in that ark? And you know what? It's quite possible, ladies and gentlemen, that some of those folk who laughed at Noah, they helped him build the ark. That's a possibility now. Because Noah was a man of means. He probably contracted something, you know, to do some of the work. They probably had some skills. They worked on it. Y'all don't hear me? They worked on the ark. They worked on the thing that they could that could save them. They worked for the thing that could save them, but they never accepted it. Oh, sounds like church folk to me. It sounds like folk get all involved in ministry and titles, and they get hooked up and they work, and they do. But hey, Jesus never told you to do anything. He told you to be. You got to believe first. And these folk worked on something that they didn't believe in. They may have worked on something they totally did not, that could save them. In other words, they were handling the medicine. They were handling the pharmaceutical that could cure their spiritual AIDS. But they laughed at it. Did not accept it. Noah, please, today, we're going to come work for you today. You say you need 12 hours and you need 12 men. We got you 12 men. Got 12 hours today. But here's one thing, Brother Noah. Here's what you got to do. Our people are very meticulous. They don't like all this gospel you've been preaching. you know, this rain gospel, you got to stop. You know, so here's the thing. We'll sign this contract. We'll help you build the ark. But don't preach not one word out of that book of rain. We don't want to hear nothing about it. Because you know what? We don't believe what we're working for. And God says, I see that Noah's the only one. There's a whole bunch of people working. Mm-hmm. May have been. It's TG now. But guess what? Noah's believing in the word. There may be a whole bunch of folk in the church, but are they in Christ? Right. Will they get in the ark? Do they really believe it? For 100 years, he's been made a fool out of because of this gospel that he had. God is going to judge sin, and it's going to rain. See, folk, the gospel is to be perpetuated, not innovated. I'm not scared anymore. I'm so sick of people being slick that think that they have a greater message than Jesus the Christ. They have a greater message than divine logos. They have a greater message than divine intellect. He who they talk about is. They just talk about being great. They just talk about what a great way. It seemed great that everybody else would just say, look, the majority rules, so we going to hang out with the crowd. They ain't going to hang out. That Noah is crazy. That old man is crazy. He didn't have too many children. That's what happened, because that's how they blame. You know, people start having a lot of kids. They say, you know, she didn't have too many kids, you know, because that's what's affected her mind. This man was too old to be having them babies. And he's out there building on this thing, and it ain't going nowhere. Talking about it's going to rain. Can somebody tell me what rain is? Because they probably didn't know. You see, because they didn't see it, because their scientific minds couldn't comprehend it, did not mean that it did not exist. Verse 2. Of fowls also of the air by
the male and the female to keep seed alive on the face of all the earth.
See, the reason why I had to have you read those in conjunction is that because somebody's still smarting over the fact that I said that it was a universal flood, that it was a worldwide, that it was not local lies. See, because what God states here is that we've made preparations, but now we got to have some preservations. And this is my plan of preservation. This is how I will preserve all the species. Do it just like this, Noah. And he says, I don't care how you feel about, certain little giraffes over there, they some nice boys, and they two male giraffes that you befriended a couple of weeks ago, you know. He's saying, nope. One of them ain't gonna make it. Bring me a female to go with that male giraffe. Do it just like. And then he says something about the fowl of the air. And then he says something about clean and unclean. See, these have got to be foreign concepts to Noah, but you know what? It shows his faith. Somebody run over to Hebrews chapter 11 right quick for me, right quick. Chapter 11, you can try verse, Noah should be mentioned about verse 26. 20 something. You know, what's a few numbers amongst friends, you know? Anybody there? 11? Yeah, what did it say, sis?
Extend the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt,
Back up, because Hebrews chapter 11 is my honor roll of faith. And I want that verse on Noah. Verse 7? All right, 7.
By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith.
Sis, would you do me one favor? Would you tell me who is the subject of that particular verse? Did you say Noah? You sure you didn't say somebody else? Noah. And now you tell me that Noah was on the honor roll of faith because he did what God told him to do, even when he didn't know what it was all about. Folk, do you know the mind of God? Do you know the purposes that God has for everybody in this room? You may know your purpose, but when God tells you, I need you to do such and such, I need you to go and stand on the door at resurrection, I need you to go teach a class at the rock, you may say, that don't even make sense. But I trust God. That's how Noah made the honor roll. That's how you make the honor roll, ladies and gentlemen. You want to be on the honor roll of faith? You want to be on the honor roll? Especially the one of faith? Do what God says do. And do it the way that he says do. Now, you know what? It had to be hard. Because you got to realize, all the animals in this day are friendly. They cute. Little Bambi is cute. Noah had to look at it through the eyes of God. Otherwise, he couldn't have done it. He had to trust God. Otherwise, he could not have done it. And God says, do two or two here, and of this, I need you to do 7 pairs, male and female. Not that. Well, why then? Why are they special? Because God knows the plans he has for you. God knows that these animals, clean, are going to be used in the sacrifice. They're going to die quick at the Thanksgiving meal. And if you eat up the seed, you ain't got nothing to sow. y'all ain't with me this morning. Let me go on. I tell you what, did you make any brunch today? I can go have brunch. y'all ain't ready for me. Verse 4 says what? Now, if you don't believe me, believe the word. Is that clear enough for you? In 7 days, 100 and some years, he's been telling them, God's going to judge the world. And then he gives them another 7 days. 7 days. Folks, do you realize how many people did we say were on the planet at this time? Let's see who's been listening. How many? No, at this time, it's 7 billion today. Huh? 10 billion. 10 billion. 7 billion today, 10 billion then, by the extracted formula, 5 billion if you use the short. But the issue is, if all 10 billion, if all 5 billion would have said, you know, God, you're right. Please don't destroy. Repent. We repent. He would have saved every last one of them. 7 days. You had 100 and some years. You done had your party on. You done party. I mean, to me, it would just have been common sense. You know what? Maybe I should just want to get on this ship just in case. I believe. Let me in. Open the door. Hey, Richard, open the door. But they did not. Because the culture dictated something else. The culture says, you're a fool to believe that old man. You're a fool to be running down to that church. You're a fool to be giving your money to some institution. You're a fool. Don't you know, you could feed the hungry with that money. You ain't got to give it to no church. Because that's what the culture says. But Christ says, if any man tries to preserve or save his life, will lose his life. And that's exactly what they traded. They traded the world system. They traded being popular with the culture. The culture will cost you your life if the culture ain't right. If you're cultivating the wrong culture, it could cost you your life. And you'll be thinking, but, oh, I don't want my kids alienated from the other kids. I want to be accepted into your little groups. I don't care about your groups. I'd rather be alone with God than be with all the heathens of the world marching to their tomb. Because in the end, God is the ultimate judge. You're up there worried about what your girlfriend, what your homie says about you. I don't care nothing about what people say about you. That they don't include you in their little social events. That they exclude you. I've been excluded from a lot better. Because there was a time that I did not know Christ. So I was excluded from the banquet table, the table of all tables. That's the table you don't want to be excluded from. 7 days. 100 years. Somebody they had. In 7 days, God says, I'm going to do what? I want y'all to read that. I'm going to cause it to what?
Rain.
Oh, I can see it. They busted their side. What? Rain? What's that? It ain't never rained before. It has never rained. Not upon the earth. Remember that reservoir system and the protective bubble that we talked about at the very beginning of creation? That's how the earth was irrigated. They laughed. They didn't believe it simply because in their scientific minds, how can it do something it's never done? And why should we be afraid of something that has never happened? Why should we be afraid of something that has never happened? You know what? We've never known anybody to go to hell. Anybody went to hell and came back and gave us no stories. So, I mean, why are you trying to scare us with that? I'm not trying to scare nobody. It's just a reality. It's about addresses. Addresses that are just as real as your current one. You live on Church Parkway, number 8504. Guess what? That's your address. That's a reality. I live in 6014. That's a reality. Are those different? You better let Sister Sneed and Brother Rod know if those are the same. Okay? That's all I got to say. Those are different addresses. And so you can live your life whatever way you want to. You cannot believe in the rain, and yet you'll be spared if something does happen. Because that was the mentality God says, I'm going to have it to rain for 40 days. It ain't never rained before, but when I let it rain, at 40 days of rain, folk, y'all don't know what 40 days of real rain. We ain't talking about no little sprinkling. We ain't talking about no rush of a hurricane and then, you know, the water subside. When you look at, when you follow next week's lesson, and I have to be careful the way they've got the lessons laid out now, is that it was a lot of water in 40 days. And when you look at the amount of time it took before that ark could hit dry land again, almost encompassing a year. That was some kind of water. That was no localized water. That was rain, y'all. That was rain like they had never seen before. But God says, I'm going to have it happen in 7 days. And every, I want you to listen to these words, every living substance. Did y'all hear that? Don't every living substance. Oh yeah, well, there was some fossils that have been found and that showed the survivability. You got to be a fool to believe that. I mean, you got to be a scientific idiot to believe that. Then it was months before the mountains showed back up. And the issue of the 40 days, because of that deluge of rain, you weather people and scientists will know that if those reservoirs are there, and we're going to see next week, there's something that happens to them. You got it happening at both ends. You got the heavens opening up, and you got the earth below you opening up. In 2004, there was a tsunami. That's the only one I remember in my lifetime. Of course, there have been others, but I was, you know, not aware. I saw the film, could not believe it. But you know what? I didn't even have to go there. I saw New Orleans. But a few years later, 2007, those of you, some people can think it's 2007. 3 years later, just in New Orleans. And that was nowhere near no 40 days of water. God says, I'm going to destroy every living substance. That word there talks about all living organisms. Everything has got to go. The only thing that's going to survive is what's in the ark. So all you people who think that because we got 7 billion folk on the planet today and only a few percentage of them believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived, died, and was resurrected, that, oh, surely God can't let all those people go to hell. God ain't going to let nobody go to hell. You're going to go to hell on your own. You bust it wide open. Your destruction. Here's the thing. There's a law. You know, and law is inextricable. In other words, you guys from Georgia, it works. You know, law just works. You know, what goes up? Gotta come down. Okay. You open your mouth too much, you might get busted in. That's just, it's a law. It's a law. So, the law works. And God ain't gonna change it. He says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And how you get that gift is the gift of grace through faith, which gives you salvation. You'll be saved. And they laugh at you. And every time you try to bring it up, they try to shut you up, because that's what the culture does now. They won't even let you talk about Christ. They'll tell you, you can talk about everything tomorrow. They'll be talking about one of the sorriest football games you ever seen today. But you start talking about Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, there you go. Why you got to bring that up every time? Hey, it's awesome, you know, because, you know, I was with Cowboy fans, you know. Not like I ain't been a fan before, you know. Played the game, watched the game, sleep on the game now. But the issue is, if I can't talk about Jesus, don't talk to me about the Cowboys. So now you're excluded. But it's all right. Because I ain't going to let you renovate the gospel. I'm not going to let you have a new gospel, the Cowboys special or the NFL special. No, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the gospel, period. And it needs to be that way every day. And if I don't get invited to some of your parties, that's all right. Because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. That's why when I go home, there's always a cabinet stock of whatever I want. No, there ain't no Tangeray there, but I don't can't use it no more. You know, but there's always food, there's always other drink. You know, I'm satisfied. I'm all right. I'm all right with me. I'm all right. All is well with my soul. Feet hurt, but all is well with my soul. I'm not going to let culture dictate, because these guys lost out. 40 days of deluge and God declaring, I'm going to destroy everything. And one of the O's about God that makes you scary when you see this, what's one of the old words? We describe them, attributes. Basic doctrine, where are you? O word. What? Omnipotent, did somebody say? No, omnipotent, all powerful, omnipotent. That means he can do anything. That means if he says he can destroy everything, that means everything's gonna be destroyed. Because he's got the power to do it. A lot of people talk big, but they can't do big. Them friends that talk about, you know, we're gonna do this to you and you won't be able to get a job and such, you can't do that. They just talking big. They ain't got no power. Because God will open up a door for you that's been closed to you. You ain't talking to somebody who don't know this. I just retired from this. That ain't nowhere in the world. Ain't nobody, no outsider in the world, in the history of that company, ever held the position that I held. All right. Period. From the outside. All right. Don't happen. But the man looked at me and he said, you're the one the Lord sent to me. That's his exact words. Greg Peters, never will forget him. So don't tell me you worried about exclusion. If you go over there, don't go. Dude, you're known over here. Don't go over there and mess with them folk, you know. That's why you are where you are. Because you don't believe in the power of God. I believe God when he says he can do all things. I believe God when he says that he destroyed every substance, every living organism. And verse 5 makes me want to shout and run out of here. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Did it say some?
No.
I'm going to tell you what. You guys, y'all know I'm a shade tree etymologist. I believe in words. Words are like people. They're known by the company they keep. Y'all should have looked up that word, all. I looked it up, because I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a trick. He did all. And you know what? Went to the dictionary, looked at that word all, and there it was. It does have a very deep meaning. All. It means all. Not some of it, but every bit of it. And Noah was 600, y'all go with me. And Noah was
600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth.
He did all that God said, Nikita. And sure enough, when he was 500, no rain, no water, just a mission and a ministry. Looking foolish. You look like a fool to stay over here and look like, y'all still take communion in church?
God, that's so antiquated. Y'all still dress up for communion? So antiquated. Y'all still, what? Your pastor preaches a whole 45 minutes? That's so antiquated. We want those little instant. We want gospel light. Don't fool with me, folks. I sit on the second row with my head looking straight forward. They'll tell you, anybody in the men's choir, they'll tell you, Mr. Sneed be looking straight forward. So I don't see what's behind me, except with my spiritual eyes. Because I see when communion happens, they're getting up, they're running, they're falling out of here. The only place they fall quicker is that offering time. I look straight ahead. Thomas, don't I look straight ahead. I'm straight ahead. What are you doing? They be falling out. That's so antiquated. You mean to tell me y'all going to take up an offering? Why do you always have to take Jesus to the cross and bury him? Oh, I just feel so bad about that. The services should be uplifting and encouraging. I done heard all that stuff, folks. I've been around y'all a long time. I'm just not going to let y'all dictate to me how I serve God. And they shouldn't do it to you. Amen. This is God's house. That means it's your house because God's your father. You come in here, act the way you want to act toward your father. And ain't nobody can tell you you're a traditionalist, you're ultra liberal, you're ultra conservative. Yeah, you're just a worshiper. This is how I do it. That's why they have churches. That's why I can't understand. Why y'all would try to get all the members over here when they got all the churches? People go to church, they says, forsake not the assembly of themselves for various reasons. Some folk, I like the preacher. I like a strong preacher. Some folk, I like a strong choir with strong preacher. You know what? I like how they do ministry over there. So that's why I go to that church. I sleep through the preaching, but, you know, I go over there. That's church. And then when they find a church where they doing the ministry that they like and the preaching that they like, that's what they call a join. That's when they join. So you shouldn't let the culture dictate how you worship God. God says, I am a spirit, and I must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Jesus says, through Paul, I always do that, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. In other words, the gospel is your power. Why would you want to run away from your power? That's the problem that we're having. Here's what we're doing. We're walking in the most dangerous areas of the world and no power. Then we're walking in the most dangerous areas of the world with all the power and we act like we ain't got it. Every time I have to deal with that, I think about, he used to be out of USAA, Chief Master Sergeant of the Air, Bob Gaylor. Bob Gaylor was a cop, and he tells a story of that when he was an airman, he was on the gate, and he came in, he waved somebody in, Cliff, and the guy behind him, he stopped. And the big truck driver got out and said, well, why are you stopping me, and why ain't going in? That's why I need to see such and such. Said that guy beat him all over that gate, his truck and everything. And the guy, his commander, he says, commander, after doing that brief, asked him, says, well, did he take your weapon? No. Did he take your baton? No. I just forgot I had him. That's the way we are. We're walking around with all the power and we're forgetting that we got it. Power. Or we're listening even worse to other folk. Don't use that. Don't use the gospel. Use something else. you know, people are sick here. They're hurting. They want some comfort. Well, let me tell you what. This is a hospital. And there's not a greater cure than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he's the perfect healer. But guess what? The flood waters came just like Noah said. And Noah went in. And Noah went in. Wait a minute. And Noah went. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And Noah. Wait a minute. Hold. Wait a minute. Y'all stop. Wait a minute. I didn't see that when I was reading. See, did y'all? This is somebody who started the lesson. Did y'all see that verse there? Yeah. That verse. Wait a minute. He says, and Noah went in. And Noah went in. Because let me tell you something, folks. You can build all you want to, but you got to go in. You got to come in. Because here it is. The Lord, in verse 1, gives an invitation. Come. Come. Every week we give an invitation. Come. And there are folk that sit, won't come. They can be in the ark of safety, but they won't come. But there are those that come, because then Noah went in. And, wait a minute, his sons. And his wife and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters. To escape the flood, you got to go in. To escape the flood, you got to come into the family of God. To escape the flood, ladies and gentlemen, you got to come in. You can't sit back there and date the church. You got to be in. You can't sit back there and look at the ark. You got to come in. Verse 8 says, of clean beasts and beasts and of the fowls, there went in two and two into the ark. I told y'all when you read too fast, you might miss something. Because in verse 9, it says, and two into Noah to the ark. In other words, Noah didn't have to run down no animals. Because that's what they're talking about. When you think about the phylum that was there, the 2x2, roughly, most people have estimated about 45,000 plus animals on that ark. He didn't have to run not one of them down. You know why? Because animals got more sense than we do. In some cases. Because it is believed that many animals, especially animals of the wild, whenever there is danger, impending danger, they don't run away from man, they run to man. That's interesting, isn't it? The animals know something up. Something getting ready to happen here. You say there's an ark over there? They only take it two? Boogity, 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 boogity. Ooh, y'all gotta see this. Just as God had commanded, he didn't have no exceptions. Verse 10, the greatest phrase in all the Bible. From now on, whenever you see this, you know something is great going to happen. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. After 7 days that the waters of the flood, when everybody got safe inside, and they're going to show you, that, you know, there's an order of how they went in also. They called later in the other chapter. They told them how they went in. Very interesting there. I'll bring that to you too. Otherwise, they'll deduct my pay. I'll bring that to you. But it's interesting that they went in at Noah's beckoning. They came to Noah. They came to a type of Christ that says, "Where is salvation? You too. Come in." The rest of the world is out there. But there are some that will come in. They'll get on board They'll sail with you, and they'll be safe in the ark. There's a passage of scripture, and I think it is found in Psalms 91, 1 and 2. I want us to read that together. 91, verses 1 through 2. Everybody there? Psalms 91? Oh, y'all thought y'all were going home. You got, y'all don't have any more minutes. I'll read it for you. He that dwelleth in shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. See y'all next week.